Let's take our Bible and turn to the book of Romans tonight. Romans chapter 3. And I trust you've already enjoyed being in the house of the Lord. I appreciate these good testimonies by the missionaries, the burden that God's put on their heart. I thank the Lord for that. Amen. And let's pray that God will just use them and touch them, help them, and meet their needs as they do that which God has called them to do. Amen. Romans chapter number 3. And I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts. We want to thank him for speaking to us this morning. Amen. Helping us out. Amen. Preached on that coin this morning. Amen. And that miracle of the coin. And what a blessing that was. I trust it was a blessing to you. And it's a different. I don't know how many people I heard walked out and said, "Preacher, I've never heard it preached like that." Amen. I think they were saying how terrible. They never heard one preach that bad. But anyway. No, man, I'm just kidding. But it's a thought that God blessed, and we just thank the Lord for that. Amen. That coin, you represented a man, and it fell to its lowest point. But I'm glad that fish came and picked it up. Amen. Took the hook. But Jesus took Calvary for you and I. And when that coin ended back up in the temple. And that's where we're headed. Amen. To worship him, the temple not made by hands. And what a blessing that is. Romans chapter 3, begin reading with verse number 21. And I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts tonight. And we need to pray for Brother Richard. I failed to mention that. Brother Richard had to leave. He's had a headache over the week. He's had a headache, I think he said, since Friday. He's got a doctor's appointment in the morning. And he's been having some migraine headaches. So you pray for him, that God would just touch him. All right, Romans chapter number 3, verse number 21. But now. I like that "but now." I like it when the Lord butts in. Amen. Amen. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God have set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, that would be talking about the Jews, by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith, the Gentile. Verse number 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. I want to preach on a little thought here in that verse number 21. I want to preach on those two little words, but now. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, God, you'll help us tonight. God, we need you. Without you, we can do nothing. God, I pray now you'll take this old body of clay and mind of dust. And God, I pray you'll pour the Spirit of God. God, your Spirit and your Scriptures, Father, will come through your servant. And God, I pray you'll speak to that sinner. You'll speak to that saint. God, you'll speak to each and every one of us tonight in a special way. We need you. God, speak to our hearts. Thank you for these missionaries that's been here tonight. God, their desire, Father, to follow you and to serve you. And God, I pray you'll meet their needs and work in their life. Now, God, meet with us tonight in a special way. And God, we'll give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Will you take your Bibles and turn back to Romans chapter number 1. We come to Romans chapter 1. We come to the verse number 16, which is the seed bed or the seed plot of the Word of God of Romans, of the book of Romans. And what Paul is setting out to say, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." Amen. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What he is saying here, what he's fixing to go into, he wants to explain to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we realize the gospel is called the gospel of God because it comes from God. Look at chapter number 1, verse number 1 of Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Hey, it's called the gospel of the kingdom because faith in the Savior brings us into his kingdom. It's called the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because without him, Jesus Christ is the heart of the gospel. And without Jesus Christ, there would be no gospel. It's called the gospel of the grace of God in Acts chapter number 20. And may I say, thank God for his grace. It was bestowed upon you and I that we could what? Hear the gospel, that we could receive the gospel, that you and I could be saved by the marvelous gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we see the plot, the seed plot of Romans, is he's wanting to talk to us about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as what he wants to show, that he said, then it said to them that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, also to the Greek, also to those. And we realize when you look into the Word of God and you study the Bible, there's going to be three groups of people. You're going to find the Jews, the Gentiles, and you're going to find the church. Amen. When you study the Word of God, you relate to who God is speaking to by those three sections, or those three groups of people. And so when he comes here, he's going to begin to describe in verse number 18 through 32 of chapter number 1. You're going to see God has showed us in this first chapter that the people who once knew God, he says, these people that once knew God, look at verse number, but they glorified him not as God. Look at verse number 23. And the Bible says, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They changed the glory of God into what? Into other images. We find that they changed the truth of God. They didn't want to receive the truth of the God. Then they changed the natural use of their bodies. It's speaking of here in these verses I read. They changed the natural use of their body. And we realize that that's a very sinful thing. Matter of fact, in our world today, sodomy is being more promoted and more promoted today than it ever has been. And unfortunately, it's been more accepted today than it ever has been. Amen. Brother Kevin, if you don't mind, kick the arrow down there. And so it's been more accepted in our day. And you realize it was, I think they took a survey 10, 15 years ago, and over half the people in the world, in America, was against sodomy. Now it's right at 50%, just a little over 50% that believe that sodomy is all right. If you keep, well, the communist said this, if you tell a lie loud enough, long enough, it'll finally become the truth. People believe it. And so I believe as Americans, I believe as a church, I believe as a pastor tonight. And I know even when I said the word, you kind of screamed just a little bit. And I understand that because it's not politically correct to talk about this subject. But may I say it's biblically correct to talk about it. Now, I'm not talking about it as a hate monger. I believe God, as long as God deals with somebody. Now you say, well, preacher, finally you're going to finally turn them over to a reprobate mind. I don't know when God does that. And so my job is just to preach the gospel. Amen. My job is just to love people and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and preach what thus saith the word of God. It's God's job to deal with people. And without God's conviction, without God's spirit dealing with them, man won't get saved anyway. And so we leave that in the hands of God and let God deal. Our job is just to, hey, with love, speak the truth in love. Our job is to say, to share the word of God and the truths of the word of God. You know, you don't have to be hateful to get this world mad at you. You just have to speak the truth. Amen. You don't have to be mean-spirited to get people that don't like you even in a Baptist church. You just have to speak the truth. And the Bible says here that they changed the use of their bodies. I mean, they changed it. They changed the truth. In verse 25, they changed the truth. And the Bible then says that God gave them up, made them reprobate, abandoned of God, totally abandoned of God. But when he deals with chapter number 1, he's dealing with these sins. And he begins to mention all these sins down through here. Then he comes to chapter number 2. And he first mentions the Gentiles. And then the last part of chapter number 2, he mentions the Jews. And then we go to chapter number 3. What advantage then has the Jew? And what Paul is trying to do, he's trying to show us that all is guilty before God. Now, this chapter 1, we look at that list and what they did. They changed gods. They had their idols. Their idol worship. We call them heathens. We call these others that are sinners, reprobate. We call all these that defiles their own bodies. But what about the good, those that do good? What about the self-righteous? What about those that, they live all right. They're law-abiding. They're good. They're upright, outstanding citizens. They're morally do-gooders. And they're religious. And he deals with Gentiles and he deals with the Jews. And then he comes to chapter number 3 and he deals with those Jews and how they have been keepers of the law. And they're just trying to do it. I believe today most of the people in this building, you're trying to do right. And I hope that you're saved trying to do right. But he begins to deal with them. And he begins to say, and there's 14 indictments that he gives to them, starting with verse number 9 through verses number 20. Look at verse number 9. He said, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proven both Jews and Gentiles that they are what? All under sin." Hey, he come to that religious crowd. You got to realize this. Paul has a great love for who? His people. He has a desire. Matter of fact, he teaches us in this book that hey, if he could be a castaway, if he could be doomed, that all Israel could be saved, he would soon to go to hell. That all his brethren could be saved and go to heaven. He has a great desire to see his people saved. But he's telling them, hey, I don't care how religious you are, I don't care how righteous you are, how much you keep the law, he begins to give these indictments to them. Look at verse number 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." There's none righteous. Then he gives them another one. He look at verse number 11. "There's none that understandeth." They felt like they understood. I mean, they was keepers of the law. They was scholars. They was scribes. They was Pharisees. I believe we got a lot of people today that think they have a lot of knowledge of the Word of God. They think that they're all right. But it's not by what you and I do. It's not by what you and I know. But it's the person that we know, the person that lives within us. Then he indicts again. He said, "There's none that seeketh after God." Amen. There's none that's seeking after God. Then he goes, number 12, "They're all going out their own way." Number 12 says, "They're all together become unprofitable." And verse number 13, "Their throats is open sepulchres." Verse number 13, "With their tongues they use deceit." And then for the poison asps under their lips. 14, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Verse 15, their feet swift to shed blood. Verse number 16, "Destruction and misery in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known." In verse number 18, "There's no fear of God before their eyes." Well, I'm telling you, we're at that place today. No fear of God before their eyes. And in verse number 19, he said, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." All the world may become what? Guilty before God. And then we see this great verse from 20, "But now." Hey, but now, man's hopelessly lost. But now, God shows up. But now, God will gloriously save those what? He said those that, verse number 22, those that what? Believe. Upon them that believe. If you want to become a believer, God will save you. Now, it's not going to be great preaching tonight, but I just got this thought. But now, hey, we was hopeless, but now God will gloriously save. Mankind was guilty before God, but now God has grace. Where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. But now, amen, man was totally deprived. He couldn't come to God, couldn't merit anything before God, but now God will justify him. Look at verse number 25. "Whom God has set forth to be appreciation, faith in his blood, to declare his righteous for the remission of sin." Verse number 26, "Declare, I say this time righteous, that he might be just, and in the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." What he's saying here, hey, he's telling all these Gentiles and all these Jews, you know what you're going to have to do? There's no difference. What you're going to have to do is you have to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the preaching. I'm afraid the missionary has already described all these young people that he took to the mission field. I guarantee you, as he took a lot of these young people to the mission field, some of them got saved. They came out of good Baptist churches. They came out of good homes. But they realized they was lost. They got out of the normal thing. They got out of the normal seating. They got out of the normal surroundings. And they realized that they didn't have what other people had. Well, I think one of the most dangerous things of our churches today is not first generation Christians, not second generation, but third, fourth generation Christians that we're trying to raise up. See, these young people that are sitting here, they've heard good preaching. Not because of me. I mean, we've had great men come through here. They hear good Bible teaching. I mean, Brother Steve, a great Bible teacher, is preaching to our children's church. Been doing it for, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, whatever. A lot of years. I mean, almost 13, a lot longer, amen, than I thought. 13 years preaching over. And just, hey, declaring the Word of God. Our We Church were Sunday school class teachers. And they've been hearing the Word of God. I mean, just from a babe, as Paul talked about Timothy. They've known the Scriptures. They've been making wise into salvation. But if we don't watch it, we'll have young people sitting in this midst. We'll have people that's sitting here, and they have a head knowledge of God. They have a book knowledge of God. They have a Bible knowledge of God, but they've never experienced believing and trusting personally in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because you know what? They think they're righteous. Did the Jews have an advantage? Oh, yes, the Jews had an advantage. They knew the law. And the law taught them what sin was. But also, that same advantage was a stumbling block to them. Because when Christ came along, and it was no longer now them looking towards their sacrifice, of the blood sacrifice in the temple, but now they was looking to the Son of God to take away the sin of the world, and now they looked to Him. And it wasn't through these rituals. It wasn't through these ceremonies. It was by faith. And you know what? It was a stumbling block to them. It was a stumbling block to them. And may I say, we don't watch it. Now, we need to raise our children in church. Hey, we need to teach them about the Lord. But we need to make sure that we teach them that, hey, you're not saved because you was born in the McCulley family. You're not saved because you're faithful to Sunday school. You're not saved because you do good things. You're not saved because you know about God. You're saved when God deals with your heart and shows you that you are a sinner. And when you realize you're a sinner and you cry out to God and ask Him to forgive you your sins and call upon Him to save you, that's how you get saved. Amen. We confess from our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in the heart that God has raised Him from death, thou shalt be saved. That's in the book of Romans. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What happened is, but now. I mean, they had all these other teachings. Man was, he was trying to see, hey, man is hopeless, he's lost. Man is guilty before God. Man is totally deprived. Only God can justify. Man is speechless. Man's mouth is closed. Man has all unrighteousness. Man is under the sentence of death. But now, God, through giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has brought a way of salvation. And that way is not by works. Look at verse number 28. Therefore, we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. I'm not trying to change the Bible, but when we say deeds, we're talking about works, about the works of the law. He's done without working. You cannot work to be saved. Now, I told this story here, being here almost 16 years, I've told every story I know. Amen. And so you're just going to have to hear it again. I was never so in ministering to people, and I love ministering to people. I had this dear lady that was getting close to death's door. She was in the hospital, and even though later she did not die, she did get better. But I mean, you know, when an elderly person gets in the hospital and things are not going well, you know, as a pastor, I go by. I go by when they got in the hospital, and I went in there, and I began to speak to her. I mean, she was a faithful member of our church, and I mean, she had come, not here, but at the other church I pastored, she'd come and been there. Of course, she was there when I came, and I was there 7.5 years, and I'd been her pastor at that time probably all 5 years at least. And a lot of times I'll do this. I say, now, you got anything you want to talk to me about? You know, I'm here. I just love to talk to you about anything. And sometimes they won't talk to me about, you know, preacher, I'm thinking about passing over, and I'm going to leave here, I'm going to leave my family, and I'd like for you to, you know, make sure at the funeral you preach at the funeral, or you make sure, you know, they'll talk to you about different things. They'll talk to, and a lot of times they'll talk to you about their salvation and about their assurance, knowing they're going to cross over to the other side, knowing they got the Lord in their heart. And she had said several things. I said, well, I said, now, everything's all right between you and the Lord, and everything's all right between you and man on this. And she said, I hope so. And I said, well, you know, I figured she just didn't understand, you know. And so I went through that thing a little bit again. And I said, now, you got everything fixed up with the Lord? She said, I hope I do. She said, I hope I'm saved. And I said, and I called her by her name. And I said, hey, you know, we believe in eternal salvation. We believe in everlasting life. And when you give your heart to God, God saves you. He don't come in just for a visit. He comes in to stay. And she said, well, I've asked the Lord something, but I'm hoping that I'll make it. And I believe with all my heart she is saved. But she had it dawned on me, and I'm not saying anything against the Church of God, but she had a Church of God background, Church of God raising. And so she felt like she had a little bit of that. And so I tried to get her, I believe she went to heaven. I tried to get her. You can know that you say, you don't have to worry about it. And I quoted some verses to her. You can know that you're saved. Hey, we've got a record that you can know that you're saved. Amen. 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 And I hope I gave her some kind of peace. But boy, that took me back. I was her pastor. And then the Lord really dealt me about that. And so for the next couple of weeks and about a couple of months there, I really preached on eternal security. Amen. I want y'all to know. Hey, I don't want to stand in the pulpit and preach anybody's funeral as a member of Philadelphia Baptist Church and not know that they're saved. You say, preacher, if they're a member, they got to be saved. Oh, no. Oh, no. Amen. You can go in a wet center and come out of, you go in a dry center and come out of a wet center. I'll get that right. Amen. Amen. So, amen. Hey, it's not nothing to do with that baptism pool. It's not to do with the membership of Philadelphia Baptist Church, all a wonderful place to be. No, it's not. It's about your condition between you and the Lord. Matter of fact, God's not as interested in your outward show as he is in your inward relationship. Amen. Now, I believe we ought to live right, look right, do right, talk right, be right. But I'm telling you, God's interested in that personal relationship inside. But now, God's done something. Amen. We see that man was going his own way, but God's brought his way. Man was full of the curse and bitterness and wickedness was in them. But God wanted to make sure that they could be, let them know they could be justified, that they could be made whole, that they could have their sins, remission of sins, they could have their sins forgiven. But now, what a blessing to know that but now. You know, we see that man's completely under sin. He teaches that there. We see that there, man is blind. Man is lost. Man is a sinner. All is sin and comes short of the glory of God. That's the crowd all. The characteristics of sin, sinners. Then the consequences of sin, they've come short. You know, you and I all had this problem. We had a debt problem. We owe a debt we could not pay. And Jesus Christ came, what? To justify us. We had a disease problem. We was cursed. Amen. I mean, we was sick. Matter of fact, we was dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. But guess what God did? He sanctified us. He set us apart. Made us alive. Quickened us with the Holy Spirit. Hey, we had a departure problem. We was headed in the wrong direction. Amen. We was leaving this world in the wrong way. But guess what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ came by, saved our soul, and made us fit subjects for heaven. We repented. Our direction changed. We done a 180. Some people does a 360, keeps going in the same direction they're going. But we done a 180. Amen. We was headed towards hell, and God saved us and turned us toward heaven. Okay, let's look at these verses now, and I'll be done. Verse number 22. Even the righteous of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that what? Believe. For there is no difference. There's not a difference in the Jew and the Gentile. There's no difference. Hey, there's not a difference in that one that is born in a rich family or born in a poor family. There's no difference in that one that's born in Africa or born in America. There's no difference. Amen. We all need salvation. They all need salvation. All need to be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Hey, are you saved tonight? I know it's a Sunday night. I know coming back, you're the cream of the crop. Wednesday night, most of you will be here. We have a great Wednesday night crowd. We're thanking God for that. Every time you come to the house of God, you're voting. Keep the doors open, preacher. I was doing some things Saturday. I ran upon a gentleman, and he said, what time y'all start on Sunday night? He told me he was a Christian and everything. He said, what time you start on? And he said he went to church. I won't tell you where he went. And he said, and I said, yeah, we have church on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. He said, we'll come up there. He said, our church don't have Sunday night services. You know why they don't have Sunday night services? Because the big crowd comes on Sunday morning, they won't come back on Sunday night. Yeah. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you what, if the preacher's got any preaching, if he'll get some people around, he'll preach to them. But if he can't get them to come, he ain't going to preach to pews. Amen. I believe that's a contradiction to the Word of God. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembly yourself together. The matter of some is so much more. You see the day approaching. I believe we're going to meet more as we see Jesus is coming. Hey, we need the fellowship. We need the Lord speaking to our hearts. We need the encouragement through the Word of God. We need what the Bible has to say more and more in this day and time. But you see here, hey, we believe. Are you a believer? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Hey, because you are in that number 23. You're in number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Preacher, you don't know who I am. I don't need to know who you are. Was you born? Was you born of a woman? Amen. Then guess what? You was born a sinner. You was born unrighteous. You was born lost. You was born with a deprived nature. Amen. You was born with a sin nature. God wants to give you a divine nature. Amen. I know it's not much preaching tonight, but it's the only thing God will give you. But now. I wanted to preach on Ruth chapter number 3. We've been preaching through the book of Ruth, and I figured I'd be at Ruth tonight, but God just changed my mind just a little while ago. Amen. And so, but you know, last time we looked at Ruth, she was in the Boaz field. I wanted us to look at her being at his feet. Amen. Being at his feet tonight, but the Lord didn't seem fit to do that. Amen. And so I don't know why I'm preaching this, but I'm just going to be obedient. But now, hey, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. It's the grace of God. Everything I'm saying, y'all know, it's the grace of God. Amen. They sang that song about the amazing grace of God. It's we're saved because of his amazing grace. The redemption has took place just because of him. Amen. Then he goes on verse 25. We have appreciation through faith in his blood. Hey, it's because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Thank God for his blood. I'm trying to hurry. Look at verse 26. Declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. Hey, it's not my righteousness. It's his righteousness. God made him to be sin. He knew no sin. By the righteousness of God in him. It's him. He's justified us. He's declared us righteous. He's declared us. It's all because of him. But now, the righteousness of God without the law. Look at next verse. Where is boasting then? Can you imagine if we could work our way to heaven, what a place heaven would be? Brother Ray would stand up on Golden Street Square in heaven. He would begin to proclaim, you know how I made it to heaven? I love that wife God gave me. No. I done this and I done that. And oh, and man, And then, he wouldn't even get near done. And Brother Hub from Minnesota. Oh, from Minnesota. And he would get up. And he began to say all his righteous deeds and all the things. He said, I put up with that Pastor Tim. And I done this. And I done that. And I put up with those people at the school. And I ministrated. I taught Sunday school. But can you imagine? And then when he got done, here comes Brother Steve, And I mean, he, Brother Steve, he don't know his. He reads them all. And he pulls his paper out and puts his glasses on. He's got this big scroll here. He's reading all these things that he's done. He's older now. He's forgot what he's done. He got them all wrote down. Amen, Brother Steve. You got to pick on Brother Steve. He wouldn't get done. And then somebody else would step up. Amen. Then the pastor would step up. I'd step up. Whew. For 16 long years, Lord, I pastored those people. I looked into their God-given eyeballs. I seen them mad. I seen them cry. I seen them tear out. I heard the complaints. I heard the pity parties. Amen. Boy, all the things that we face down here upon this earth. The trials and the troubles. Oh, but Lord, I made it through it all. I'm glad I made it. But the Bible says that all boasting, there'll be no boasting when you get to heaven. Look what it says. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works, nay, but by the law of faith. When we get to heaven, we'll fall down prostrate and say, I'm here because of him. Amen. What a day when we see the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. John seen him in the Revelation. We'll see him, the Savior of the world. What a day. Amen. Then look at verse number 28. Therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith without the works of the law, without the deeds of the law. 29, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. But you know what we do? Yea, we establish the law. You know what the law was teaching them? The law taught them one thing. You're all sinners. When Jesus, they brought that woman in adultery to Jesus, he stooped down in the sand. And I don't know how many preachers preached about what he wrote. None of us know. Yeah. I don't know what he wrote. But I know this. From the eldest to the youngest, they throwed the rocks down to condemn her. He that without sin cast the first stone. Can you hear? They're all there. The crowd's roaring. Kill her, kill her, kill her. And the silence come and you hear the oldest one of them. Boom. 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 I'm talking about, the one without sin. I'm talking about the most righteous Pharisee that was there. And the crowd was looking at him. Oh, he's the Pharisee of Pharisees. If anybody has kept the law, he's kept it. Anybody in this building has not sinned, it's him, buddy. And they looked at, I see those young eyes looking at him, and then they see it. Boom. All have sinned. All have sinned. We established the law. We established we're sinners. You know what the law also taught? It taught that there's all sin, but it taught there had to be a sacrifice for salvation. Why'd they bring the goats? Why'd they bring the lambs? Why'd they bring the total of the blood? Without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin. We're establishing the law. Jesus Christ is that Lamb of God. Take away the sin. Christ is our Passover. He is that Lamb. He's the only one that could pay sin's debt. Amen. He's the only one that can make a way for you and I. We're establishing the law. We're establishing the law. Tonight, do you know, but now, there's been a way, an access to you. See, the Old Testament economy, that veil was there to let you know that God was behind the veil. His presence back, and to keep you from seeing the glory of God and dying. But God rent that veil and said, okay, come on in. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hey, wave. You have access now through the blood of the Lord Jesus. There's access. You can come in to the very holies of holies. I wonder today, have you entered in? But now. We're standing, our heads are bowed. But now. But now. All men were sinners, but now one who died for the sins of the world has made a way that you and I could be saved. Man's feet were swift to shed blood, but now one whose blood was shed for us. Sin had abound and sin had abound, but now grace does much more abound. God's righteousness provides justification for sinners. Salvation is for both Jews and Gentiles. Salvation is for whosoever. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believed Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Brother Mike's singing. If you need to come, if God spoke to your heart about anything tonight, are you in the fold? Are you in the family? Are you saved tonight?